The message tonight is Moses and the Book of Psalms. I was going to name it Moses in the Book of Psalms, but you'll see in a moment that it has to be Moses and the Book of Psalms. So what I'll do is just read, as we come to them, the Psalms associated with Moses. Psalm 77. And the last verse. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And just for interest, turn to Isaiah 63. And look at verse 12. That caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses and divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name. Here again, Moses is spoken of. Look at verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? And so forth. So here is Israel as a flock of sheep. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know all the personages that the world would bring to our attention today. We remember in the New Testament, it was this one who gave himself out as some great one. And the world is filled with people doing the same thing. We're glad that you have given us your personages, our God, and that we can read about them. And we're so glad that you described them. The ones that would indeed be estimated great in the eyes of men. At times, you tell us they are of little worth. And those that seem so insignificant, you tell us of their great worth. And so we thank you, our God, for the great and the small, for the good and the bad, for all the saints and all the sinners that you bring before our view in the Word of God. And we desire to learn a little bit again this night about your servant Moses. So help us, our Father, to receive good instruction concerning him. We thank you for the blessings of the day, for the strength that you've given us. We are here, and with it, our God, we would fellowship with the people of God, and we would minister to the people of God, and we would have thy scriptures expounded, enabled by the Spirit of God. So all of these things are possible if you intervene. So help us to that end this night. For the blessings of the day, indeed, we thank you, our God. So receive our thanks for that, and forgive us and cleanse us of our sins, and bless us, we pray, as you promised, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I was going to speak to you on Moses in the Psalms, but what I found was this. Moses, indeed, is in 5 of the Psalms, but he wrote 1 of the Psalms. And so it has to be Moses and the Psalms, the one who is both in the Psalms and Moses, the writer of a psalm. When I was considering how often Moses was mentioned again outside those books that tell of his life. If you read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you'll find ever so much about Moses and all of those associated with him. But outside those books containing his life, you find his name again mentioned, as I told you, in the New Testament, so in the Old Testament. But what was significant is that six times you find his name mentioned in the book of Psalms. And I thought then, well, are other people of importance in the Old Testament? Are they found in the Psalms as well? And so I looked up to see about Abraham, the father of the faithful. And he's there, but just a few times. And then I looked to find Isaac, the son of Abraham, and found him mentioned one time. And then I looked up Jacob, and of all things, he's there in the Psalms more than any of the other persons in the Old Testament. Other than David, who wrote so many of the Psalms, but these are Psalms that David wrote. So interesting, because God has picked out Jacob, who would be inferior when you would compare him to Abraham and Isaac, but God uses Jacob so many times in the Psalms, and it says this, "Blessed is he whose God is the God of Jacob," because this is the God of grace, and the one who cared for him as he prayed that blessing on his children just before he died. But tonight, it is Moses. And what is so helpful when God tells us about people other than in the books that they wrote and in their lifetime, it's when other people make comments on them. It's like this. If you're reading about John the Baptist, our Savior made a comment about him. Of those born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And then others, when they heard the Lord Jesus preach, after John the Baptist had announced the Lord Jesus, this is the comment they made. They said, "John indeed did no miracle, but all that he said of this man, the Lord Jesus, was true." So I'm wondering what God will say about you and me, what people will remember when we leave this world and go to the next. I wonder if your name will even be mentioned. Why should it be? Moses, his name was mentioned, and Abraham's name was mentioned, and Jacob's name was mentioned, and Joseph, yes. But when people think about us later in life, and even now, what will people say about us? I had my heart broken many months ago when someone mentioned a Christian's name, and what they said concerning him was insulting. And yet, I could not deny it, but it was a sad thing. And others, right now, you can still mention some with whom I fellowship in Canada and the United States, and when their name is mentioned, a smile, satisfaction will come upon their faces, and they will think about these dear Christians with joy and with respect. And when you read in this book of Psalms about Moses, God is telling us through the lips of others some things that we should have found when we read his own life in the four of the five books of Moses. And so he's telling us other things. So look at verse 20 now in Psalm 77. It says, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Here are the two that God used, and what a miracle, to bring hundreds of thousands of enslaved Israelites out of Egypt. And God looks upon them as a flock, and their shepherds are Moses and Aaron. This is what is needed. And I thought of this, and it has saddened my heart for this reason, when the Savior said, The fields are white unto harvest. It says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Well, I wish that there were a great harvest of hungry souls that want to hear the word of God. But I have not found those souls. One here, one there. And I have not found a great harvest of lost souls that are seeking God, seeking guidance. But the Lord Jesus saw the Jews in his day, and he looked upon them, and they were distressed and scattered. He said they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. So what God has done is look upon the nation of Israel, and he has chosen one whom he is going to use as a shepherd to take them out. And so here is the first remembrance of Moses associated with Aaron, which I will tell you about later in the will of God. And here it is Moses, the shepherd. Now, turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. But who is the one who is writing this psalm? Look at the heading just before verse 1 begins. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so we have in the title the one who is the author of this psalm. And now this brings to mind the life of Moses in the past and what he said concerning himself and what a denial this psalm and the other writings of Moses convey to us when God, seeking to get him to be a shepherd and to teach the children of Israel, Moses pleaded this. He said, Lord, he said, I'm not an eloquent man. He said, neither before you call me or after. He said, I can't speak. I have no ability to express myself. And God said to him, who made a man deaf, dumb, hearing? Who made a man's tongue? Who makes it possible for these things to take place in a man? God said, I do. And Moses said, however that might be, send by whom thou shalt send. And so that is how Aaron was brought into conjunction with Moses, his brother. Because God wanted to do it all through Moses. But instead, since Moses refused to accept that great responsibility, feeling himself inadequate, he said, send by the hand of whom thou wilt. And God said, I know your brother Aaron, that he can speak well. Then I will use him along with you. And what happens is this, that God, after that, had to speak to Moses, and then Moses would speak to Aaron, and then Aaron would speak to the people. And that was because he felt his inability to represent God in telling him the things that God would have his people to know. But this is what is so remarkable. If you read in Psalms, this Psalm 90, we find that Moses was a composer of psalms. One psalm, but one of the most magnificent psalms in all of the 750 psalms that there are. No greater psalm than this one by Moses. And he said, I'm not able. And yet, at the end of his life, this man who said, I cannot speak, God said, I want you to write a song. And then you read in Exodus 32, this beautiful song that Moses composed. And then, just before he passed on to the next world, God told him that I want you to bless the children of Israel. He understood that this was to be done. And then you have this beautiful poetical blessing in Deuteronomy 33. So God said, I want you to write a song. And this man who said, I have no ability to do these things, to speak, he writes this magnificent song in Deuteronomy 32. And then he's to bless Israel. And he is a poet because he writes in poetical language all the blessings of the children of Israel. And now we come to this magnificent psalm, and Moses, who said, I have no ability, proves himself to excel in this ability to express himself beautifully, poetically, and in the form of a psalm. So it's one thing when some people think that they're something, give out themselves to be something, and they're nothing. And then there are others who are exceedingly humble and lack self-assurance at a certain time in their life. And yet, if God says to you, if you lack that, I will empower you and I will enable you to do what I'm telling you to do, then you're able to accept it. But warn to those who think that they have some gift, but they have not a gift, and then God is not going to help them. They will turn out to be a burden upon the people of God, and their ministry will be unprofitable. But here is Moses, and he is the author of this psalm, and the man who said, I have no ability, proves himself of the greatest ability. Now, Psalm 99. Look at verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. You have to remember this verse, because if someone asks you the question, does the Bible anywhere call Moses a priest? We know about Aaron the priest, and Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar and Phinehas. We know all of them are called priests. But where is Moses called a priest? You'll look throughout the Pentateuch and never find Moses spoken of as a priest. And yet, he is the one who functioned as a priest. He is the one who was superior to his brother Aaron, because he was the priest who prepared him to be the high priest of the nation of Israel. But here, Moses is called a priest along with his brother. Notice, even before his brother, it says Moses and Aaron among his priests. So what we should do is this, to think of all of those who functioned as priests in the nation of Israel, and think of some that were false and weak and sinful, and then think of some who were giants and who so pleased God that God gave them exaltation in the world. You think of Eli. He tried to be a good man, but he was a weak priest, and God would not mention him in the same category as Moses and Aaron. The sad thing is that Eli was a priest, but he was one who was a failure. He was not able to keep his children under control, and when they sinned and he did not restrain them, then God said, I'm removing you and your children and all associated with you from the priesthood. But this was never so with Moses. God saw fit to give the priesthood to his brother Aaron. But before Aaron ever entered into that position, sanctified, prepared, consecrated, it was Aaron's brother, Moses, the priest, who did that for him. But now, there are some priests that have various functions in the Bible. Some are teaching priests. It says the priest's lips should keep wisdom. But there are other priests that are known not for preaching and speaking so much as praying. And in this instance, look, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. The strange thing is this, that Samuel was not a priest. He was a Levite. He was one who served the Lord. But he had not that descendant from Aaron and his family, but he was descended, and he was one of the sons of Korah. And yet, God used him. God intervened and used him as a priest. And if you look for names outside the book of Psalms who are of special mention, when prayer is thought about, God says this in Jeremiah. He says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my mind be toward this people. Think of this, that God in heaven has remembered in the past sins that have been committed, and prayer warriors that came into his presence and cried unto God and interceded for those that had sinned. And God thought of two in particular, Moses and Samuel. Read throughout the life of Samuel, how Samuel intervened, how he prayed. And then if you read in the life of Moses, you see how again and again he was a praying priest, an intercessory priest. And he, and this is the glory of Samuel, is elevated, though he was not a priest. And he's put in the same category as Moses and Aaron. Aaron also is given honorable mention here, but he's not to be compared to his brother or to Samuel. And yet, on occasion, he was one who did intercede, because when Israel rebelled against him, Aaron was the one who took that censer and went in among them when the plague had begun. And he was the one who, through his intercession, as being one who was able to speak to the heart of God, he was one who could be placed with Moses and Samuel. So here is Moses the priest, but here he is Moses the praying priest. Now, Psalm 103. Verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his doings unto the children of Israel. If you can remember, in Exodus 33, God has spoken about what he's going to do against Israel, how that he's going to disinherit them. And when Moses starts interceding for Israel, he makes this petition in his own behalf. He said, Lord, he said, you must show me your ways. He said, you told me that you're going to use me as a shepherd to lead these children out of the land of Egypt, and you've not told me the ways that I am to impart to them. I do not know your instructions. I do not know your laws and your commandments. O God, make known unto me your ways. And notice what it says here in verse 7. It's speaking about the answer that God gave. He made known his ways unto Moses, his doings unto the children of Israel. But these things were made known through Moses. How remarkable. I thought of this when I've been teaching you about the life of Moses. As for one who was a prophet, who received knowledge and instruction and the mind of God, I cannot think of anyone who received more of the mind of God and revelations from God than Moses. Think of the first five books of the Bible. And when God in Exodus started revealing things to Moses, and think of what he told Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets, and think of what he told those in the New Testament, and as for the actual number of revelations and truths and ways, the things that please God, no one received any more than Moses. How remarkable. And so he is remembered as the one whom God made known his ways to. So here is Moses the prophet, because the prophet is the man who makes known the mind of God. Now, prophecy is making known the mind of God, the immediate mind of God, or the future mind of God. We usually think of prophets as telling something in the future. But it says in Corinthians, now, he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto man, but he speaketh unto God. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, edification, exhortation, and consolation. Notice, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, edification, exhortation, and consolation. And so a prophet is one who has God's ways and mind revealed to him, and then he makes known those things through that prophet to his children. And Moses here is spoken of as the prophet to whom God made known his ways. Now, Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Verse 26. It says, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They set among them his signs and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood. Now here is Moses the miracle worker. Here is Moses the one to whom God entrusted signs to go and compel Pharaoh to let his people go. And think now, the water turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, the murine, the boils, the lightning bolts and hail, the locust, the darkness, the death, all of these signs Moses was empowered of God to bring upon the rebellious Pharaoh and his people, so that he would let them go. And so here is Moses, not only the shepherd that cared for the children of Israel, but now here is Moses, the worker of miracles, the giver of signs, that Pharaoh might understand that God, he is the Lord, and he would let his people go. Psalm 106. I'm so glad that we finally come to a portion that takes up for Moses. We've been reading so far about all good things about Moses, but Moses had controversies with the nation of Israel and with individuals in Israel, and now we are finally going to hear of the justification of Moses in this book of Psalms. Look at verse 16. It says, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. You'll find that envying in Numbers chapter 16. And that is why, notice, it speaks about Aaron, the saint of the Lord. It doesn't mean that he is a saint, a holy one, in a personal way, but it means that he is God's anointed high priest, and therefore he is the saint. He is the sanctified, the set apart one. And it mentions that they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, because when Korah and when Dathan and Abiram and the 250 others that joined with them to envy Moses and to want their position, they said, all the nation of Israel is holy. And then Moses said to them, God will show you who is holy. And the word holy is the word that is the root for the word saint. Aaron, his saint. And in brief, to simplify it, they had their 250 censers, and they were going to offer incense to God. And God sent down fire from heaven and consumed them. And then the plague had begun with the people. And God said to Aaron, now you take your censer and go in among the people. Now that showed who was the sinner and who was the saint. Here are those with 250 censers, and God sent his judgment upon them. They are sinners. But here is the one that they had claimed was no better than they were. They were saints. God showed them that they were rebellious sinners, envying those that they had no right to envy, and that Aaron was the saint. And so Moses and Aaron were the ones that were envied of God, and God justified whom he had chosen, Moses and Aaron the saint. Now, look at verse 23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, the nation of Israel, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Thank God that now you have the people pretending that they are as holy as Moses, and they have a special place as near to God as Moses. But God says, indeed, they have not. And here we have Moses, God's chosen, and he is the one who stands in the breach to turn away the wrath of God. So here is Moses, the intercessor, the one alone who can save Israel from destruction. And it says this, they despise the pleasant land, they believe not his word. So at last, we are seeing Moses in the good light. We are seeing Israel as the one that was guilty, and we're seeing Moses as the one who was guiltless and who was the one that interceded and intervened for them. Now, look at verse 32. Concerning Moses, it says this, they angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they were rebellious against his spirit, and he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them. Now look at this. Here is Moses, and I've wondered about it so often. When Moses was faithful in all God's house until he came the second time to get water out of the rock, and God said, speak to the rock, and he smote the rock twice, and God said, you and Aaron are not going into the promised land. And I thought about that, and thank God, Moses is now vindicated. Look, it says, they angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Thank God that it was their fault. Moses should have been strong and should have overcome this attack by the people. But in this instance, he failed. But it says that it wasn't his fault. It says, they angered him also at the waters of Meribah. I do not know how Moses endured so long. I would have thought that he would have been angry even before then, and that he would have said, God, you mentioned destroying them, go ahead and destroy them. But he never did that. But here in Numbers chapter 20, they angered him, and it says that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they were rebellious against his spirit, and they caused him to speak unadvisedly with his lips. What does that mean? Evidently, it means that we have to have patience with one another. I am exhorted of God to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Yes, but at the same time, there are times when you are to rebuke and to reprove, but evidently not in this instance as Moses did. But at least it was not something in Moses. It was something provoked in Moses by them. They angered him, and they caused it to go ill with Moses. So, here are some things about Moses in the book of Psalms and contained in the Psalms. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that you review the lives of your saints after they've lived and gone to be with you. We are thankful that you tell us about their relationships with men. And we see that of all things, those that were faithful to you instead of it going, well, the way was hard. And instead of the people appreciating and admiring Moses, they envied him, they angered him, they caused him to speak ill-advisedly. And so our Father, we look at ourselves and we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us see how much you expect of us, and let us see how much you expected of Moses, and he was faithful in all his house, except in this instance. And that makes us afraid, our God. We remember that David was the man after your heart, but it was failure in his part. And so, our God, we pray that you shall keep us from displeasing thee. When men sit and speak against us, let us do as your Son did, but I meditate on thy word. So let us learn from the life of Moses, and let us be blessed from these comments that other men make on the life of Moses. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.